Was this Andrew's idea or yours? Mine. Is Mrs. Salter okay? She's fine. Let me see her. Richard stepped back and Holland stepped in and closed the door. Janet Salter came out of the parlor. Holland asked her, Are you okay? She nodded. She said,
I'm fine, and I'm very grateful that you came. I appreciate it very much. But really, you should be on your way to the prison.
Holland nodded. I was, but I didn't want you to be alone.
Rules are rules.
Even so.
I'll be fine. I'm sure Mr. Reacher will prove more than capable.
Holland glanced back at Reacher, wretched conflict in his face, just like the cop from the hallway. Reacher asked him, What's happening up there? Holland said,
Blacks and whites having at it. A regular prison riot.
First ever?
Correct. Great timing.
Tell me about it. Bottom line, what happens if you don't go? The department is disgraced and I get fired. After that, no one really knows. So go.
I don't want to.
A simple statement. The way Holland said it and the way he stood there afterward made Reacher think he had more in his mind than his duty to Mrs. Salter. He wanted to stay indoors, comfortable, in the warm, where he was safe. Holland was scared. Reacher asked him, Have you ever worked a prison before?
Holland said, No.
There's nothing to it. You'll be on the fence and in the towers. Anyone tries to get through, you shoot them dead. Simple as that. They know the rules, and they won't try anyway. Not at a moment's notice in this kind of weather. They'll stay inside, fighting. They'll burn out eventually, they always do. You're going to get cold and bored, but that's all.
Have you worked prisons?
I've worked everything, including personal protection. And with all due respect, I can do at least as good a job as you. So you should let me. That way everyone wins.
I don't know.
I can look after the situation here. You can take care of your people up there.
It could last for hours, even days.
Actually, it could last for weeks. But if it looks like it's going to, then you can regroup.
You think?
Reacher nodded. You can't work around the clock for days on end. Not all of you. No one could expect that. You can establish some flexibility after the first panic is over.
Holland didn't answer.
Outside, the siren suddenly died. It just cut off mid-wail, and absolute silence came crashing back. A total absence of sound, like the air itself was refreezing. Reacher said, That probably means you're all supposed to be up there by now.
Holland nodded, slow and unsure, once, then twice.
He looked at Janet Salter and said,
At least come with me in the car. I need to know you're safe.
Janet Salter said,
That's not permitted, Chief Holland. Rules are rules. But don't worry. I'll be safe here, with Mr. Reacher.
Holland stood still a moment longer. Then he nodded a third time, more decisively. His mind was made up. He turned abruptly and headed out the door. His car was still running. A thin cloud of exhaust was pooling behind the trunk. He climbed in, and Kay turned and drove away and out of sight. White vapor trailed after him and hung and dispersed. The small sound of his chains on the packed snow died back to nothing. Reacher closed the door. The house went quiet again. Tactically, the best move would have been to lock Janet Salter in the basement, but she refused to go. She just stood in the hallway with her hand on the butt of the gun in her pocket. She looked all around, one point of the compass, then the next, as if she suddenly understood that the four walls that were supposed to protect her were really just four different ways in. There were doors and windows all over the place. Any one of them could be forced or busted in an instant. Second best would have been to stash her in her bedroom. Second-floor break-ins were much less common than first floor. But she wouldn't go upstairs, either. She said she would feel she had nowhere to run.
You won't be running, Reacher said. You'll be shooting.
Not while you're here, surely.
12 holes in the guy are better than 6.
She was quiet for a beat. She looked at him like he was an alien. She asked,
Shouldn't you be patrolling outside?
No.
Why not?
It would take me far too long to get from front to back if I had to, and my finger wouldn't fit in the trigger guard with gloves on, and it's too cold to go out without gloves.
So we just wait in here?
Reacher nodded. That's right. We wait in here. They waited in the parlor. Reacher figured it was the best choice. It overlooked the front, and given the snow on the ground, frontal approach was the most likely. And even if an actual approach was not attempted, the parlor was still the best room. The way it looked out under the lip of the porch roof and across the whole of its depth meant that a potential sniper would have to line up front and center to get a shot. He would be spotted 20 paces before he even raised the rifle to his eye. There were many other possible dangers. Bombs, or firebombs, were top of the list. But if that kind of thing was coming their way, it didn't really matter which room they were in. The clock ticked past 9 and marked the end of their first hour alone. The street outside was deserted. Reacher made a careful sweep of the interior perimeter. The front door, locked. The first floor windows all closed. The French doors in the library, locked. The back door, locked. Second story windows, all good. Most of them were inaccessible without a ladder. The only viable possibility was a bedroom window at the front, which had the back edge of the porch roof directly under its sill. But there was a lot of snow out there. The porch roof itself would be slippery and treacherous. Safe enough. The weather was changing. A light wind was rising. The night sky was clearing. The moon was bright and stars were visible. The temperature felt like it was dropping. Every window Reacher checked had a layer of air in front of it that was pulsing with cold. The wind didn't help. It found invisible cracks and made invisible drafts and sucked heat out of the whole structure. The wind didn't help safety, either. It made strange sounds. Rustling, cracking, crackling noises. The brittle chafing of frozen foliage. Hollow clicks and clonks from frozen tree limbs. A faint keening from the weird shapes on the power lines. In absolute terms, the sounds were quiet, but Reacher could have done without them. He was depending on hearing the soft crunch and slide of feet on snow, and the chances of doing that were diminishing. And Janet Salter was talking from time to time, which made things worse, but he didn't want to shut her up. She was nervous, understandably, and talking seemed to help her.